Herod, king of Judah, were not good times. Herod, obsessed with himself, was a crafty man. And there was never a time Israel more needed her Messiah, a rescue from the tyrannical rule of the Romans and their puppets, the Herodians. There was never a time Israel more needed her Messiah to lift them up out of the mire, to engage his mighty arm of salvation in battle with the enemies of his people, to establish the righteous reign and justice in a world filled with immorality and inequality. Ask anyone and they would tell you, it's time. It's time to execute the promise, God, the covenant you made first to Abraham, the promise of land, descendants, and that a descendant of Abraham would be a blessing to the nations. But the years rolled on, and the question was asked more than once by many people. Has God forgotten? Has God abandoned his people? No doubt a rather contemporary question even today. The priest, Zechariah, had hoped the Messiah would come for years. He was a righteous and blameless man, the scriptures tell us. Not that he was sinless, but that he was righteous. In the same way that Abraham was righteous. Zechariah believed God in his promises, and the Lord counted Zechariah's faith in God's promises as righteousness. Which, by the way, is the same way we are counted righteous. But as had been the case in the lives of all those who had hoped, the Messiah just plain hadn't come. And now, with many years' experience at hoping, Zechariah, the wise old priest, could only believe that someday it would happen, for God had promised it. But he was pretty sure, at least he wouldn't see it. What was his hope? His hope was that God had not forgotten Israel, but that one day the Lord would send the Messiah, whose rule over the world would increase and whose presence would bring a peace that passes understanding. Someday, but Zechariah was old now. Someday, for indeed the Lord is faithful and keeps his promises. Someday, but it seems not now. Zechariah was married to Elizabeth. They were both righteous Jews. Both struggled to walk in the way of the Lord. They both knew that they were sinners needing the Lord's salvation. They both trusted in God's faithfulness. Righteous they were, but Elizabeth was not blessed with children. For years, both she and Zechariah had prayed for a child, for someone perhaps to carry on the family name, to continue the high calling of the priesthood. And just like us, Zechariah and Elizabeth probably wanted to enjoy the enchantment that children bring to a house, the cheer that makes a house into a home, children to love and cuddle and care for and get up in the middle of the night with. But they had quit praying that a long time before this. Zechariah and Elizabeth were old, and the scripture tells us that Elizabeth was barren. So she had to be content with the belief that God loved her despite her closed womb. Although every once in a while in the market, someone would make that derogatory comment about her, just loud enough so that she would hear it. For being childless was taken to be a sign of God's disfavor. She didn't believe that was true. But no doubt she struggled with it every once in a while. Zechariah served as a priest in one of the 24 divisions of ministering priests. They're the ones who took turns being at call at the temple, keeping the holy days, performing the sacrifices morning and evening, praying for the people and praying for the coming of the Messiah. One evening, lots were cast, and they fell to Zechariah to enter the holy place of the temple. His job in there would be to tend the incense altar that sat right in front of the most holy place, right before the time for evening prayer. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Well, this was nothing new to Zechariah. He'd done this countless times before, performed the ritual required washings and praying the prayers at the altar of incense. And although the scriptures call him righteous, and he was, I'm sure that there were times that he struggled with the holiness of the task, the sacredness of the work challenged by the routine of it all over and over again. But it was important work, and Zechariah was a good priest. But this time, his service was hardly routine. While Zechariah was burning incense and praying, the angel Gabriel appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. The surprise startled even righteous Zechariah, and fear consumed him. An angel! Look at the number of times angels appear, and spread that over the whole time that the scriptures cover. And you'll note, angels don't appear that often. Was this the angel Abraham saw in his wanderings, or Moses witnessed at the Red Sea parted, the children of Israel were rescued from their enemies? Was this the angel who ministered to Elijah, strengthening him in his struggle with the prophets of Baal and those evil monarchs, Ahab and Jezebel? And now, an angel of the Lord in the presence of old righteous Zechariah? Well, angels are messengers. And when they visibly appear, something special is about to happen. What was the message of the angel? Imagine your surprise when the angel said, "Your prayers have been answered, Zechariah. Your wife Elizabeth is going to have a son." Talk about prayers being caught in the download buffer for a while. The angel had more to say as well. "This son will be a prophet filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will resemble Elijah of old with a spirit of preaching and a power in his words. And his mission would be to turn the ears of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and to make ready the way of the Lord, a people prepared." Zechariah had to think, "Did I just hear what I heard? A son is a surprise enough, but that this child would be born to make ready the way? To prepare a people fit for the coming Messiah?" The unspeakable was happening. Their prayers were being answered, all of them. First, the Lord proved gracious to Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were going to have a son. But even more than that, God was proving gracious and faithful as well to all humanity. Now in the fullness of time, God was sending his Messiah. Elizabeth? Well, she was pregnant. And Zechariah? He was speechless. His logical doubting had led God to silence his tongue until the baby was born. And as a priest unable to preach, he applied for workman's comp and took the next 9 months off. Remember this, that which the Lord promises happens. That which the Lord plans, he completes. The Lord is dependable. And the day came for Elizabeth to be delivered, and she gave birth to a son. The crowd thought he should be named Zechariah like his dad, but Elizabeth said, "No, we're calling him John." The name, of course, took everyone by surprise. Thinking Elizabeth was taking advantage of the situation, they all turned to speechless Zechariah, who took up his wax white writing tablet and wrote the child's name just as Gabriel, the angel, had told him. A child from heaven. A name from heaven. His name is John. And with that, Zechariah could speak again. And he began glorifying God. And the neighbors, they were filled with fear over the loosing of Zechariah's tongue. And they spread this news throughout the whole hill country of Judea. If Mary sings like a psalm, Zechariah speaks like a prophet. The hand of the Lord was on young John, and the Spirit of the Lord filled old Zechariah. And as Zechariah prophesies, he celebrates the faithfulness of the Lord God of Israel. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. His people. The Benedictus rehearses Israel's covenant history, a history begun with a covenant God made to Abraham, a covenant that will end with the new covenant that Jeremiah talks about, the new covenant in Christ's body and blood at the Lord's table. And old Zechariah is elated. God has not forgotten his promises, promises he made to his people. He has not abandoned them in their time of need. God was not about to go back on the oath that he swore to Abraham. No, God was bringing to fulfillment the promises he had spoken so many times before. Of this, Zechariah was sure, so certain of it, because he had a word of God on it. In fact, he was so sure that he speaks of the events as if they had already happened. He uses the past tense. God has visited. God has redeemed. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us. Speaking of it all in the past tense isn't some copyist's error or proof that this was written after the fact. Zechariah is positive about that of which he sings, certain of the triumph of the Messiah, even while the Messiah is still growing in the womb of his mother. God has raised up a horn of salvation for the house of his in the house of his servant David, in Mary and Joseph, for they were of the house and lineage of David. All will unfold just as the Lord had spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. And what has the Messiah come to do? To save us from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us. To show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath that he had swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Salvation unto us has come. Zechariah is sure of it. And John's been born to prepare salvation's way. This great message that Zechariah sings is a message for us tonight. The same God who was faithful to the promises he made to Abraham is faithful to the promises he's made to you as well. God hasn't forgotten the promise he has made to you. God hasn't abandoned you in your time of need, though sometimes you might be convinced of it, as convinced as Zechariah and Elizabeth were convinced that they weren't going to have children. He didn't forget you in the past, he won't now, and neither will he in the time to come. Zechariah's song tonight is our thanksgiving song as well. For the Lord remembers the holy covenant he made with you. A covenant of mercy, a covenant of forgiveness that he worked out for you on Calvary's cross. You have God's word on it in your baptism and on your tongue. There he has made a promise to you, sins forgiven. Child of God, you are. It's from the cross of Calvary that God once and for all time blows triumphantly into that victorious horn of salvation. And the blast of that trumpet is heard throughout all of time itself. A blast announcing Christ's victory over sin and death. A blast so omnipotent, so powerful, that it will raise the dead in Christ to life forever. So sing tonight like Zechariah did, with utter confidence and without unbelief. The Lord has visited and redeemed you. He has raised up His horn of salvation for you, just like He said He would. He has saved you from your enemies, from all your sin, from your death, from Satan, from the curse of the law, and all who hate you too. He has saved you that He might show mercy to you, just as He swore He'd do, that you might then be able to serve Him without fear. No need to fear the one who reconciles you to the Father in holiness and righteousness all the days of your life. For He has given you light, you who sit in darkness and death, to guide your feet into the way of peace, into the way of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus Christ your Lord. Amen.